Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. It's always our delight to have you on board with us. We look forward to the dialogue and discussion that we shall have together. We'll be talking about a subject today that is timely and fitting, a subject that multitudes, I believe, have either failed to think on or consider whatsoever. That is, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus Christ? Is he God? Is he just some guru, or is he some fake false teacher? How do you view the Lord Jesus Christ? Who is he, and on what basis do you make that determination? Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? And as we face the issues, and as we talk about who is Jesus today, I pray that you'll stay tuned in. Call your friends, relatives, neighbors, and associates and ask them to tune in also. Invite them to listen to this broadcast each and every day and join us as we have the discussion about it. During the course of this broadcast, we'll invite you to call in. We're going to ask you the question, who is Jesus? What basis do you make that determination? What do you find in the scripture in relationship to our celebration of this thing called Christmas? What do we do this Christmas with all that we've seen taking place? Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It is the truth book. It is the book of books. It is the Bible. And in that book, in John 8:31-32, Jesus said to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then Jesus said in John 14:6, I am truth. Further, he makes the declaration in John 17:17. Thy word is truth. It's the truth of the word of God that ought to grasp our hearts, ought to grip our understanding, and cause us to view this season in a greater solemnity and seriousness than perhaps we have considered in the past. Ladies and gentlemen, truth is a factor that is so needed in society, and yet it was the secularist George Orwell, many years ago, in fact, I think in his writing of the book 1984, projecting where the world would be in 1984, and he missed it by a few years. It's taking place in 2020. But he said in that work, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we find that to be true today. And therefore, I challenge you and urge you to go back to the statements and the thoughts of the 15th century church reformer and theologian Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, live the truth, tell the truth, defend the truth, even to death. And I believe that is what God calls upon us to do. And if I can tuck this little thought in, I believe we're watching the final days of the opportunity for us to stand for truth and not be retaliated against or persecuted in relationship to that. I believe that we're watching the close of the era in which we're seeing the curtains close on religious liberties and freedoms in America as it already is around the world. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of Honda generators, and they have a knowledgeable staff, ladies and gentlemen. Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff to answer your questions about all of the equipment they sell. That is the landscape lawn care equipment for the professional as well as the homeowner. Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff to answer your questions about hurricane preparedness equipment or any other question about backup power equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old San Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. You can find that location, ladies and gentlemen, by finding the gigantic American flag, U.S. flag, Old Glory, flowing on a 165-foot flagpole. Right at the base of that flagpole at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, lest I forget it, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Have with me today in our studios Pastor Glenn Davis. Pastor Davis pastors a church up in Georgia. That's my stomping ground for less than 100 years.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
And I'm thankful that he's with us today. And we're going to be talking about this question, who is Jesus? Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Ladies and gentlemen, we have, let me just give you a little blurb overview of this year in case you have not recognized it as such. During the course of this year, we've experienced an unusual year. We, first of all, in January, we're still in the attempts to impeach President Donald J. Trump. And then in February, the latter part of January and February, we discovered the Wuhan, China virus that had hit America. Then the national lockdowns that forced all of our churches across America to be closed even for the Easter season. And then the extreme persecution and pressure and even prosecution of Christians and churches because of Wuhan, China lockdown. And then the stolen election, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just hitting the high points of 2020. And then the stolen election, the attempt for a coup on a national level to overthrow the American presidency and to steal an election. Those are just some of the little highlights for the 2020 year that I believe most of which will go down in the history books as being that dark day for the United States of America. But ladies and gentlemen, in this Christmas season, believers, we as believers, Pastor Davis, we that name the name of Jesus need to recognize that notwithstanding the darkness, notwithstanding the danger, notwithstanding all of the dilemma that we've seen in 2020, we as Christians ought to stand tall, ought to have our voices heard, and we ought to praise God for the privilege of celebrating this Christmas season.
Amen.
Standing tall and recognizing that God's still on the throne.
Amen.
That God's
Amen.
Not dead. That God's not even been sick.
Amen.
God hadn't had the Wuhan, China virus.
Amen.
He's still alive. He's still well. He's still sovereign. He's still on the throne. And therefore, ladies and gentlemen, even though we have some of the governors and mayors that are insisting on lockdowns and forced closures of our churches, even for the Thanksgiving and Christmas season, ladies and gentlemen, these governors and mayors have had the audacity to say that we ought not to celebrate them. And as Christians, we ought to stand tall and say, no, no, no. We're going to still serve the Lord Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over the question or comment, please. We lost our caller. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the question today, who is Jesus Christ? We have Pastor Davis with us today, Glenn Davis. Pastor Davis is one of the students in the Conservative Theological University, and he is a pastor up in Georgia. And I am always thrilled to have the privilege to sit with him and have dialogue and discussion on these various subjects. And I pray that you'll be tuned in and be willing to call in and want to hear from you. Who is Jesus according to you? Who is Jesus Christ? Is he truly God? Is he Savior? Is he Lord? Is he creator, control of this universe? Ladies and gentlemen, there are those that during the course of this Christmas season are wanting to punish Christians for celebrating Christmas. I would have never believed it for the deep south state of Mississippi. Here's an article. Mississippi police threaten to punish Christian cheer, Christmas cheer. If you host a Christmas party in Aberdeen, Mississippi, you could wind up on the police department's naughty list or even worse. The Aberdeen Police Department announced in a shocking Facebook post that they will enforce a mandate from the governor's office regarding the China virus rules and regulations. If you schedule, this is what they're saying. Now, the police department, Pastor, police department in Mississippi.
My.
If you schedule events, please start making provisions to cancel them if they're going to be on the inside. the police department announced, please don't try to figure out how you can get around it, because we'll find you and take the majority of your profits away from you. Starting Monday, a curfew goes into effect. That was this past Monday, ladies and gentlemen. That should make it a bit difficult for Santa Claus or even for Christmas Eve to take place. And whatever you do, this is police department, whatever you do, don't give the cops a bad attitude. Cussing, by the way, is also a no-no. Attitudes and cussings will be given a citation for disorderly conduct, possibly even your vehicle being towed. So heed the warning, they wrote. Oh, and to be forewarned about the number of folks hunkered down around the Yule, Y-O-U-Y-U-L-E, Yule log. As far as Christmas parties, pop-up shops, game shops, any social gathering that exceed 10 people will be written up with tickets. We ask that you follow the mandate, the police department said. They say the rules will be enforced, so will the financial penalties. Anyone who fails to pay 100% of their fine will be served with a warrant. The brown shirts in the police department also warned Christians and citizens not to complain to the mayor's council or the city council. They say, and I quote, don't call the mayor or city council, ladies. They can't help you. We just want a safe and productive city. We appreciate everything you all can do to help us in this matter, they wrote. And then further in the article, the writer says, this is a disgrace that this is happening in Mississippi, one of the irate residents wrote. I'm pro-police. I back the blue. Until you overstep your boundaries, and this post is blatantly tyrannical. If you want citizen support, I'd suggest more professionalism and knowledge of the law. Sounds like 1984 come true. And they're referring to the George Orwell fiction novel that was written about 1984. Sounds like 1984 has come to pass, they said. Pastor Davis, I find it antithetical to what we would call religious liberties and freedom in America for any police department, for any governor, for any mayor to try to, in some fashion, claim that it's the Wuhan China virus, that they must absolutely cancel Christmas.
My.
I've seen down through the years where the lost media and the socialist, Marxist, communist, BLM, Democratic Party, and some of those affiliates would cancel the manger scenes or cancel having a Christmas tree in your yard, if you're in a homeowners association in particular, or try to cancel singing even jingle bells or having a Christmas play at a school. But I've never seen a time when they literally want to shut down Christmas. This is the first time in my lifetime that I've seen the officials wanting to simply stop Christmas.
Amen. So, it is very sad, Dr. Youngblood. In spite of all the confusion and chaos and turmoil and everything else that's gripped us the biggest part of this year, this ought to be at least one time Christians should really get together and glorify our Savior.
Amen.
He is our Savior. And if you really love Jesus, if you appreciate everything he's done for you, where he brought you from. And if you think about it from the first part of this year, at the very onset of this virus thing going on, some of us got sick, but some of us, Dr. Youngblood, have been very fortunate because we have been blessed.
Yes.
I'm one of the ones that I can say that me and my family, we have truly been blessed.
Amen.
I mean, we had a brush with it at the church. A few of the members came down with a positive test, but no one passed away. No one got terribly sick.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying this to cast a negative reflection on anybody else that might have had, you know, an incident like this to happen. Of course, you know, we pray God, you know, we continue to bless you. And if you're in a situation like this, we're praying for your healing.
Amen.
But then we need to know and understand who is in control.
That's right.
Absolutely. God is still in control.
Absolutely.
That's the reason why I thank God that ever since March, when this thing first started, God had me praying Psalm 91. Get that note.
Amen.
Listeners, you need to go to Psalm 91 and see what God says in his word that he would do for you because you love him.
It revolutionized a life.
Amen. Amen. And if you love him, he will protect
Amen.
You.
That's Amen. Right. I believe we have a call on the line. Give you the question or comment, please.
Yes, Pastor. Either Jesus was who he said he was, or he was a mental patient with grandiose delusions. As you read the Gospels, his personality comes through as very confident, self-assured. He's not intimidated by anyone, always in total mastery of the facts and the issues. I don't know if you recall that show, Undercover Boss, but Jesus yes. was the, you know, he was the head guy, and they didn't know it. The Jews, Jesus was confrontive, corrective, and rebuked them, and that just offended the Jewish leadership. They didn't recognize him. They didn't respect him. They were jealous of him, and they plotted with the Roman government to kill him. And, of course, one day they're going to realize their error, according to Scripture. But that's yes. my two cents.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for that word of encouragement and challenge. We will find during the course of our broadcast today, as we talk about that more broadly, that Jesus Christ is who the Bible says that he is. But we have folks today that's thinking that somehow, some way, they can intrude on our religious liberties and intrude on our Christian celebration of Christmas and say that you can just, it's kind of I don't know if this is the term, but willy-nilly, kind of a willy-nilly thing where they think that they can just say it and it is the fact. In fact, the governor of Virginia says Christians don't need to be in churches, even at Christmas time. Democratic Governor Ralph Northam told Virginians Thursday they don't need to be in church for God to hear their prayers. Now, he's a half theologian in that sense. We can be any place. God is everywhere. He is omniscient. He is omnipresent. He is omnipotent. He is all powerful. And so, yes, we can pray, and God hears us wherever we are.
Amen.
But he is making a joke, a laughing stock out of Christians when he's saying that you don't need to be celebrating Christmas, and you can just not even go to church. The governor announced his new executive order Thursday, expanding mass mandates, setting curfew between midnight and 5 a.m., and lowering the number of people at social gatherings to 10 people or less. And it has already gone into effect. Though these restrictions are in place, the governor is saying that you just don't have to go to church to worship. He says, for me, God is wherever you are, he continued. You don't have to sit in church. You don't have to be in a pew for God to hear you and for you to pray. Pastor, I am absolutely astonished with that statement by the governor of Virginia. I ought not to be. If he's for murder by way of abortion, and even by way of murdering a child out of the womb and saying, we'll just put that child, that baby, on the table and keep him comfortable in his until he dies.
Amen.
That didn't make sense of what this man says. But, ladies and gentlemen, it's around the world. Here's an article that says, Belgians told police, we will knock on your doors at Christmas to enforce the COVID rules. Belgians have been told that they can expect a knock on the doors from the police at Christmas time if they do not properly follow COVID-19 rules. Goes further in the article. If we think there's a large group of people gathering where you shouldn't be, then police will have to intervene, the police department says. If, again, there's a flagrant breaking of the rules, then the police will have to enforce it. They'll break your door down. This is what they're saying in Belgium. And we're finding, Pastor Davis, a greater and greater disregard, disdain, and absolute sense of anger toward Christians. It seems that it is fomenting more this year at Christmas time than I've seen in my lifetime.
Amen.
And they're
Amen.
Using the, the false pretense that it's because of COVID-19 that they're
Amen.
Having to
Amen.
Do that.
I call that, Dr. Youngblood, I call that a subtle attack.
Yes.
Basically, because it's disguised, in other words, to make it look like they have our best interests at heart.
Yes.
And don't get us wrong. We understand, again, the COVID-19 virus is real. It's
yes.
deadly. We know that. And if you're not careful about social distancing, washing your hands, do different kind of things like that, to do the practices that are put in place to help prevent that, we understand that it can also be spread. But we need to know and understand this, Dr. Youngblood. If we are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I feel the Spirit of God on that.
Amen.
Amen. If we are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, even the devil himself can't do us any harm. I'm a firm believer that God will not allow us to come together we who truly believe and trust in Christ to be not only our Savior, but our healer, our redeemer, and our deliverer.
Amen.
If we really trust in him, Dr. Youngblood, he's not going to allow any harm to come to us.
And the key to what you just said is to faith God and not fear man.
Amen.
And somehow, ladies and gentlemen, we've gotten to the point, we've been drilled with this all year. We've been bombarded with it all year, that somehow, some way, the government is to take care of us and not God. I prefer to faith God and not fear man.
Amen. Amen.
I believe, ladies and gentlemen, it's time that Christians, and especially at this Christmas season, Pastor, that we need to take the stand, that we're going to worship God. In fact, my wife has said for several years now, it's just so wonderful to see the Christmas season, and because we're celebrating the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, my wife has said several times, put all the lights out you can, put the beautiful trees up, decorate the trees, have the beautiful stencil on the trees and the decoration, and sing the wonderful Christmas
Amen.
Songs
Amen.
To let the world know that a Savior's born,
Amen.
That Jesus
Amen.
Christ has come.
Amen.
And that ought to be our mindset and our attitude. And yet, here's the governor of Virginia trying to take the position of theologian in chief rather than governor in chief. And Molly Hemingway of the Federalist said this: Governor Ralph Northam has no right to dictate the theology of any Virginian residents. Governor Ralph Northam has tried to tell people that they can worship without being in a church. Northam is wrong when he thinks he can instruct people on how to worship, Hemingway said. It's a real unfortunate thing to see him trying to do this. Our First Amendment, she says, has no just or religious liberty, but also the right, not only just and religious liberty, but the right of people to assemble. These are natural rights that no government can take away, not even someone like Governor Northam, she concluded. And he goes on to talk about his edict in that realm. But ladies and gentlemen, let me just simply say this. We could talk about Jesus and who he is until Jesus comes, Pastor Davis, and never cover the totality of who Jesus is.
Amen.
But ladies and gentlemen, I don't want you to think that I'm sounding the alarm in a doom and gloomish fashion. But let's just face it. In fact, before the broadcast, Pastor Davis and I were talking, and I said, I really believe, based on what we're seeing, if this continues to move in the direction it is now with this coup that's taken place in America, with the overthrow of our constitutional republic by the left, socialist, Marxist, communist, democratic party, I believe we could very well be seeing our last Christmas as a free nation.
Amen.
Hear what I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen. This could very well be our last free opportunity to celebrate Christmas as a free people. And I don't say that with an extremist, alarmist mentality. I say that based on knowing the Word of God, based on understanding our Constitution, based on the realization of what is taking place in America today with this stolen election that is taking place today. Now, just a little parenthetical footnote on that, ladies and gentlemen. There's still an opportunity for Republicans in Washington to grow a spine, put on big boy pants, and stand up and do what's right on January the 6th. January the 6th, there's a open session of Congress, House and Senate meets, and they will read the electoral college votes, and they will either accept them or reject them. And if there's one senator that makes a motion to not accept them and it's seconded, then, ladies and gentlemen, we're dealing with a totally different ballgame, a totally different scenario,
Amen.
A totally different potentiality of President Donald J. Trump of being sworn in January the 20th. Because in that setting, if they follow the constitutional guidelines for that, they could refuse to accept the Electoral College vote as has been presented on the 14th of December. And they would have an opportunity with each state having one delegate, one vote, to determine who's the president. If it cannot be resolved in that setting on January the 6th, Nancy Pelosi will become interim president until the House of Representatives vote on a president to be sworn in as the President of the United States of America. Now, that's a scary thought to me. But notwithstanding that which I've said, based on what we see happening today, this could very easily be the last time we celebrate Christmas as a free people,
amen,
as a free nation, as Christians that are free. And if we're free, if we've been set free by Christ and that the Bible says we are, then we're free indeed. In fact, here's an article that says, secular Democrats urge Biden to pounce, P-O-U-N-C-E, pounce on U.S. Christianity. A Democratic Political Action Committee presented, representing secular values, issued a sweeping agenda for Joe Biden to reverse many of President Trump's advances for religious liberties and freedoms in America and restore a vision of constitutional secularism over all of America. It would ban religious organizations from participating in government programs. It would ban religious organizations from supporting governments who want to close down churches amid the COVID pandemic, requires new disclosures from all churches, overturn religious free speech and precedents such as Hobby Lobby case, prevent mention of any creationism in any educational material, and the de-radicalization of the white Christian nationalism, this writer says, end quote. The document declares that the rise of white Christian nationalism is a national security threat for all of Americans. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a 28-page document that the secularist lost people in Washington have presented to Joe Biden, Sleepy Joe, Basement Biden, and they are asking him, when he's sworn in, to literally pounce upon Christians in America.
My, my.
Now, Pastor Davis, I don't know about you, but I've never seen anything that's more spine-chilling than that.
Amen.
Than to openly say that if Biden is sworn in, we're going to come after you guys called Christians.
Amen.
We're going to pounce on Christians. And we'll absolutely foreclose, ladies and gentlemen, let me just put it in a little clearer language for you if you didn't understand the terminology in this document. It will force Christians to bow and bend at the whims of a secularist governmental system in America. It will be responsible for the closure of churches, the prosecution of Christians, and the prosecution of pastors across America. It will foreclose any possibility of the religious liberties and the freedom of speech from any pulpit, from any printed material, for any material that is presented by any written form and then published and disseminated in the United States of America.
Amen.
It will destroy, Pastor Davis, it will destroy free Christianity in America.
Amen. Well, you know, Dr. Youngblood, there's so much social unrest.
Yes.
And so much confusion going on out there right now until I don't think people can get the right train of thought in their heads and in their minds to even realize what's really going on. They don't know that the overall picture that's being painted, it looks rosy.
Mm-hmm.
But if you take a good close look at it, I think it'll scare you once you really get to looking at it.
Absolutely.
Because it's not going to come out exactly the way that they got it painted.
No, sir.
Especially not for Christians.
No, sir.
Amen.
And the end result, the process that we're seeing is the shutting out of true news. And in that shutting down of news, the people in darkness and the people that are in darkness, even as Christians, do not understand what we're faced with and the future results of where we could be going in this Christmas celebration.
Amen.
And this is the reason, ladies and gentlemen, I'm saying we need to ask the question, who is Jesus Christ? And if we answer the question that he is God, he's 100% God and 100% man, he is very God and very man. And as a result of that, we're talking about the incarnation of God, God's incarnation, where God becomes man and walks on this earth for some 30 years, and then he is crucified, buried, resurrected, ascended back into glory, coming back again. And that's the Jesus we're going to talk about in just a moment. We wanted to set the stage for us to realize the grave danger that's before us and the great need to celebrate this Christmas with great joy and celebration without feeling that we've got to bow and bend and kiss the boots of the secularist in society. We need to put the Christmas tree lights up. We need to sing the Christmas carols. We need to let the world know that Christ Jesus is born.
Amen.
Hang in there, ladies and gentlemen. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back after the top of the hour news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.